The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Arizona is where Republicans are continuing with this Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs audit of the presidential election results in Arizona, which is being run by a QAnon promoter who has never had any previous experience with administering elections, let alone auditing one.
Can Arizona's election audit get any more laughable? It can, and it just did.
Bizarre episode going on, and it's just downright bizarre. They brought obviously the same lie that fueled the January 6th attack on the Capitol.
And the whole thing is ludicrous, quite frankly. It's ludicrous.
Do you want to avoid another terror attack on the U.S. Capitol? They're pursuing conspiracies like fraudulent ballots being flown into Arizona from Asia. So now, literally, these ninjas are reportedly checking for bamboo traces on ballots.
A cult, which is what this is akin to in terms of what Trump is doing with his base, a cult doesn't survive by proving the lie it's based on, but it simply has to perpetuate it and keep the lie alive. So what you're going to see here is this privately funded, mysterious audit being conducted essentially in the dark.
Do you know how crazy this audit is in Arizona? This is, you have to understand this. They're actually examining the ballots with UV light to see if there are any traces of bamboo in the paper, because one of the conspiracy theories holds that fake ballots were shipped in from Asia. And because Liz Cheney is one of the only Republicans in leadership willing to see this insanity for what it is, she is being purged from her position. Whew. Man.
How about that? They certainly seem a little bit uneasy, a little bit nervous, perhaps. It's almost enjoyable to watch them squirm a bit as these recounts continue. And they haven't been able to stop them. And so there's the propaganda media describing it as bizarre, as laughable, as, well, you're cuckoo, you're a conspiracy theorist, you're QAnon. You're QAnon, you're whatever. That's the propaganda media in full meltdown mode. And this has been going on, in particular, the last few days. They've thrown everything in the kitchen sink at this to try to stop it. They've sent in the attorneys. You have state officials there on the Democrat side that have tried to prevent it from going forward. The DOJ is now involved, as I said yesterday. We'll get Kelly Ward's response to that here in just a second. You're listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to, this is our last show of the week. Can you believe it? Our new time slot, 11 a.m. here in the central time zone of Oklahoma, or the central part of the United States. And we're already upon Friday. Of course, we've got a very busy weekend ahead here on campus, here at headquarters, Edmond, Oklahoma, with the graduation for Armstrong College. That's on Sunday afternoon. We've got the grad brunch for all the families Sunday morning. So lots and lots to attend to over the next couple of days. But first, the Trumpet Daily, your Friday version. You can submit some feedback to the show if you like, td@kpcg.fm. There was a Twitter thread that just contrasted some of the headlines in 2016 with what we're seeing today because of this Arizona audit. And just to give you a few examples from Vox, this is November of 2000. This is right after Donald Trump won the election against Hillary Clinton. And Vox said, the election probably wasn't hacked, but Clinton should request recounts just in case. Well, there should be a recount just in case. You've got to make sure that we don't have any worries or fears that it was tampered with. This is Vox today. What's behind Arizona's bizarre, haphazard, and highly partisan audit of the 2020 election? Well, what a different tone they're taking this time around. It's bizarre. It's highly partisan. The tale of two headlines from Raw Story in 2016. Recount effort poised to explore whether Russia hacked the vote for Trump. And then this year, Arizona Republicans using UV lights to prove QAnon conspiracy theory in bonkers election audit. What a difference. What a stark difference. From Wired in 2016. Hacked or not, audit this election and all future ones. Everything in the future too. I mean, it's the American way. We've got to be sure. We can't have people tampering with our democracy, with our vote, our right to vote. We want a free and fair election. You've got to audit this one and everyone from here on out. CNN this year says, do you know how crazy this is? Do you know how crazy this is, this 2021 audit? You just heard there in the montage from Jake Tapper. He cannot believe that this is going forward. I mean, they're looking for bamboo residue. They've got to find the bamboo residue, he says. It's just hilarious. The Guardian. Russia probably didn't hack U.S. election, but we still need audits, experts say. The Guardian, I mean, they were quoting experts in 2016. We need audits. The experts told us. And this time around, it says, I watched Arizona's unprecedented election audit. Here's what's happening. So they've got someone there on the ground, and I mean, they are appalled. So they've got to tell the Guardian audience about this laughable audit, this bizarre audit. The New York Daily News, 2016, election results may have been hacked in three swing states. Trump won. Activists want Clinton to seek recount. 538. November 2016, why I support an election audit even though it's unlikely to change the outcome. The Intercept, November 2016, Donald Trump, voting machine truther, should demand recounts to prove he won. He should be demanding this as well. The other side should be demanding this too, to prove that he won. And on it goes. But this year, this time, here's the Washington Post. Arizona still fighting about the 2020 election. No good can come from it. There's nothing good that can come from this recount. Yahoo News, former Republican Arizona Attorney General on GOP audit. The whole thing is a sham. They went out to find a Republican, and they're out there. You have Cindy McCain. You have the Mitt Romneys of the world. And, of course, what led up to this explosion yesterday on the propaganda news networks is the fact that Liz Cheney, she's Mitt Romney-esque, the fact that Liz Cheney's on the way out in her leadership position among Republicans, and they're replacing her with Representative Stefanik. And she is for the audit. And so the propaganda media went ballistic. She says yesterday during an interview that, yes, indeed, we need to get to the bottom of this. This audit should go forward. And the media reaction? Well, you just heard it there in that cold open. Listen again. This is Chris Cuomo last night, and he's playing a clip of Representative Stefanik and then commenting on this on both sides. Clip 7.
Do you want to avoid another terror attack on the U.S. Capitol? If so, then you need to start paying attention to what is passing as leadership on the four-month anniversary of the insurrection in the party of Trump.
I fully support the audit in Arizona. We want transparency and answers for the American people. What are the Democrats so afraid of?
Maybe the fear is based on a reasonable suspicion of a farce to promote a fraud known as the big lie. But this is the talk that got us to that fateful day. Now, it is fueling the ascension of Trump's apparent choice to replace the highest-ranking female member of Congress in his party.
So now they're using the terminology "the big lie." That was President Trump on Monday, saying that the election, the 2020 election, it's a big lie. And so they're countering with the fact that if you say it was stolen, that's the big lie. So who's right? How are you going to get to the truth in a nation that's so bitterly divided? Well, for one, you could examine the ballots, which is what all of them were calling for in 2016. And now they want it covered up. Now they want the counting to stop. What a change. As I said yesterday, I believe it was, how obvious is it that they stole it and that they know they stole it? Just look at the way they're reacting. They can't stand the fact that there's going to be a Republican, a high-ranking one at that, that's actually demanding a recount, that we get to the bottom of this. As far as they're concerned, if you're not Mitt Romney, you're not really a Republican. They just thought, well, surely they pulled out all the stops on January 6th with another fraud, saying that was an insurrection, an armed insurrection, where people, plural, died because of Trump supporters. All of it lies. And they thought pulling off that, and the truth of it is, even from the Republican side, they didn't push back hard enough on that false narrative. They were too quick to believe CNN. The narrative that CNN said on January 6th and beyond. Oh, the fire extinguisher. Oh, the officer got killed. Oh, the people were stampeding. Oh, everybody got stampeded to death. And instead of pushing back on that, you had Republicans rushing to the microphone as well to denounce it, saying that it was a riot, saying that it was an armed insurrection. But we now know the truth. But they thought after January 6th, and then they followed it up, like icing on the cake was impeach him again. Impeach him again for a speech. A speech in which he said, hey, let's peacefully protest. Impeach! Impeach! They thought, surely Donald Trump goes away for good. And all of his supporters, they thought for sure all of his supporters would just abandon Donald Trump. Why, he's an insurrectionist. And now here we are a few months on. And Elise Stefanik is there on an interview yesterday saying we should have a recount. We need to find out if this was fraudulent or not. And so you see their reaction. You see how they react. Here's Rachel Maddow from last night, clip 8.
Representative Stefanik essentially auditioning for that leadership gig today by doing a podcast interview with recently pardoned Trump advisor Steve Bannon, in which she described Trump as still president, and where she went on and on about how much she very much supports the very, very important audit in Arizona, which of course will reveal the fraud and show that Trump actually was reelected.
Very, very nervous. They are very nervous that the truth here might be exposed. How could this would be the third ranking member among Republicans? How could she say Donald Trump is still president? Well, Donald Trump himself, for his part, he's out there. He's not letting this go. He had a statement the other day. He said the fake news media, working in close conjunction with big tech and the radical left Democrats, they're all the same. It really and truly is a Democrat media complex. Some say the legacy media, propaganda media is how we describe it. They're all the same. It says they're doing everything they can to perpetuate the term "the big lie" when speaking of the 2020 presidential election fraud. They're right in that the 2020 presidential election was a big lie, but not in the way they mean. Yeah, it was a big lie. But the lie is not saying that it was stolen. The lie is saying it was legit. listen to Kelly Ward. She's the chairwoman that is punching back with some force at the Biden administration weaponizing the DOJ to try to get in there and to intimidate these Arizona Republicans into submission. This was her reaction yesterday, clip 12.
But what the Democrats couldn't get in our Arizona courts, they're now attempting to get from Biden's politicized Justice Department. Their pitch? Lack of security. Despite dozens of security cameras monitoring the audit at all times and 19 armed guards protecting the premises and the ballots. Compare that to security at the Maricopa Tabulation Center. Why don't you do that, DOJ? They also made accusations of voter intimidation by the auditors, going door to door, targeting the minority community. They also say there's ballot tampering by counters. All lies, all hearsay, all fake news from complicit media, all dismissed by the courts due to lack of evidence.
Dismissed by the courts because of no evidence. So now they're resorting to this. The propaganda, the intimidation, the DOJ threatening these politicians in Arizona, wanting to meddle in Arizona's constitutional right to run its own election. What's the problem? This woman that you just heard there and those with her are telling everyone there's cameras all over this recount facility. They're inviting in Democrats. Initially, the Democrats didn't want to be a part of it. They wanted to shut it down. But still, it's an open door as far as observation. Compare that with what was happening in the days following the November 3rd election, where Republican observers were being shut out, where windows were being boarded up so that you couldn't see what was going on. Now here's this transparency. These Democrat officials, some of them are in there. They're watching and observing what's going on just as sure as Republicans are. So what's the problem? Supposing it is just searching for bamboo residue. Well, if you find out it's not there, then you move on. No problem. They're not concerned. These propagandists are not concerned about the bamboo. They're concerned about the dead people that voted, the ones that voted from out of state, the ones that were underage, and then, of course, the fake people. From 2016 to 2020, Arizona added something like 850,000 registered voters, almost 1 million in a four-year period. You can't say it's impossible, but I mean, that in itself shows that there were a lot of fake voters that just showed up out of nowhere. And they don't want that uncovered. Donald Trump, he commented on the Arizona recount yesterday or the day before, and then made this comment about Windham, New Hampshire. And here again, except for a few websites and the president himself, ask yourself as you hear this statement from Donald Trump, ask yourself, where do you even hear about this? He says, congratulations to the great patriots of Windham, New Hampshire, for their incredible fight to seek out the truth on the massive election fraud which took place in New Hampshire and the 2020 presidential election. Now, New Hampshire, you remember, yesterday I told you that Donald Trump was only 3,000 votes behind Hillary Clinton from 2016. So you have Trump in 2016, Hillary Clinton in 2016, then Donald Trump in 2020, he adds 20,000 votes to his tally in New Hampshire. So he's way up here for 2020. And where's Joe Biden? Well, Joe Biden miraculously ended up somewhere up here, if you can believe it. You can't believe it, can you? And neither can the legacy media, if they're honest. So what do they want? They want it to be shut down, the audit. And the people of Windham, as I told you yesterday, they're upset. They're upset because some of these counting officials, these auditing officials, they want to get in there and shut it down. So there's this tug of war, this fight over who gets to count it, who gets to audit it. Donald Trump said the spirit of transparency and justice is being displayed all over the country by media outlets which do not represent fake news. So there are some honest outlets, some of them at the local level. And then, you know, Fox News is spot on at times. Not as much as they used to be, but that's another story. It says people are watching in droves as these patriots work tirelessly to reveal the real facts of the most tainted and corrupt election in American history. Congratulations to Wyndham. And now ask yourself, where do you read about Wyndham, New Hampshire? This is from Human Events on April 29th. It says here, well, if I can pick up the quote. As reported by Human Events in February, the Wyndham Board of Selectmen unanimously requested an investigation into what exactly happened on November 3rd, as did several of the Republicans and Democrats involved in the races. A recount of the Wyndham votes cast in the November 3rd election revealed the largest discrepancy between machine and hand counts for any election in New Hampshire's history. This from a perfect election, keep in mind. That's what Chris Krebs said. Oh, it was perfect. Says it was the magnitude of the difference that led the special purpose legislation being passed. The vote recount did find that while the declared winners, all Republicans, did not change, each winning candidate had votes materially undercounted by just over 6%. Candidates for both parties joined in calling for the audit. So, as I said yesterday, 6%, not 0.06%. 6%. They were shorted 6%. And the Democrats, in contrast, well, they had an increase of 1 or 2%. So these people at Wyndham, this small city of 14,000 people, said, hey, we need to figure out what went wrong here. How could the errors be that sizable? Says here in a 3-to-1 vote, the board selected Mark Lindemann, a co-director of Team Left political activist organization Verified Voting, to represent Wyndham in the process. Lindemann is on record as objecting to the Maricopa County, Arizona vote audit. So he was supposed to be grilled, this Lindemann, before he was appointed to this position. Somehow or another, he had a medical excuse to leave or to be away from. The townspeople, I believe it was, that were going to ask him or decide or determine or at least have a say in who was appointed to be on this audit board. It says here, citizens in Wyndham are concerned that someone who has elsewhere spoken out publicly against an approved recount on strictly partisan political grounds will not be able to set aside personal bias. It says here, the story out of the small southern New Hampshire hamlet is of national interest as it serves as a microcosm of the sort of general concerns over election integrity that are present throughout the country from the presidential level on down. Yeah, there's concern right across the country. People are concerned. People want to get to the bottom of this. And finally, you have some audits beginning to make some headway. And how does the media react? Well, they're hysterical. They're deranged. They're talking about QAnon and bamboo shoots. That's what's laughable. When we come back, we'll follow up on some of the items we had yesterday and hopefully continue with our study through Psalm 119. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. The Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course is a distance learning program that makes the Bible clear and understandable. The correspondence course enables enrollees to learn what the Bible itself says about subjects that affect you and the world you live in. This fascinating Bible course highlights and proves what the Bible says about morality, war, religion, terrorism, and other current events, focusing on the root causes of this world's many problems facing man, as well as their solutions. The Bible and this course also focuses on the reason mankind was created in the first place, the way to happiness, accomplishment, and fulfillment, as well as the truth behind important doctrinal questions, such as what happens after we die, the nature of God, the resurrection, the millennium, and other critical subjects. Enroll today in the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. This is KPCG FM, and this is The Trumpet Daily.
More deaths have been connected to the new COVID vaccines over the past 4 months than to all previous vaccines combined over a period of more than 15 years. Very same system, very different results. Now, even if you concede that VAERS is flawed, and we did concede that because it is, numbers like those over time obviously require some kind of explanation. How did this happen? So what is that explanation? We still don't know. Instead of answering that simple and important question, the usual chorus of partisans began screaming and calling for censorship. How dare you cite the Biden administration's numbers? Those numbers are wrong. Okay. Their position is you don't need to know the rate of injury. That doesn't matter. Anyone who asks about harm is immoral. That's what they're arguing. If you ever find yourself arguing that, then you will know for certain that you have lost the thread. You are no longer at that point advocating for public health. You're doing something else entirely.
That's Tucker Carlson last night following up on his report the night before, his segment on the approximate number of deaths due to the vaccine, 4,000 nearly. And of course, there was a massive outcry in response, as you would expect from the propaganda media. And that was his response to their unhinged response. Their cries for censorship. He needs to be removed. He needs to be blotted out. He needs to be censored, Tucker Carlson. Why, he's quoting from the Biden CDC to get those statistics. He shouldn't do that. Their argument, as he says there, to even ask about what harm this could bring, they see that as immoral. You don't even ask the question. It's like with the election. You don't even go back and check. You do not audit, unless it's 2016, that's fine. But you do not count. You do not get a recount. You've got to move on, and so we must move on and just get the double jab. Just get the vaccine. Listen to CNN's reaction to Tucker's segment from the other night, clip 5.
I've asked this question before about Tucker Carlson. Does he want his viewers to live?
It's so reckless, John. It's so dangerous what he's doing. And I'm glad you didn't actually show the clip because I think that's the wrong thing to do. I can't tell with him whether he's just so smart or so dumb. I'm just not sure at this point, but it is very reckless and dangerous.
Right. It's Tucker's statements that are reckless and dangerous. It's not that reporter's statement. Does Tucker Carlson want his viewers to live? That's what passes for journalism these days. I think it was the Babylon Bee the other day that said CNN's new format is going to be to just sit live watching the Fox feed and shouting at the screen, heckling the screen. That's about what it amounts to. Let's see what Fox or someone that has some truth says, and let's just get up and scream, censor, censor. To even ask about the health risks involved with taking this vaccine is immoral. And so the pressure, as I've been saying this week, is intense. And it's not stopping. They want everyone in the United States of America to get this vaccine. Doesn't matter if you've already gotten COVID and survived. You still need the vaccine. You need it if you're a little three-year-old. How dangerous is that? Putting that substance inside of a little kid's body. That's what they want to do, though. This is from Joe Biden's speech. I think this was from a couple of days ago when he was updating everyone on the tens of millions that are getting the vaccine. And he said this. Move ahead to clip four.
It's going to be hard. So we're going to keep at it. We're going to keep at it. And I think the end of the day, most people will be convinced by the fact that their failure to get the vaccine may cause other people to get sick and maybe die.
You see where they're at now? 15 days to slow the spread. And now, if you don't get the vaccine, you're going to be the cause. You're going to be a murderer. You're going to be responsible for murdering grandma, just like Governor Cuomo said, because of how smart he is. You've got to get this vaccine or else. And already you're beginning to see a society, at least in blue states, where it's segregated. You've got the vaccinated on the one hand and you've got those that are not vaccinated on the other. And all of these talking heads in the propaganda media saying that's the way it should be. They should give preference to those who've been vaccinated. And this is where we're headed, and we're being led there by the fake president himself, Joe Biden. Well, there's a couple other items that I think would be worth getting into. Maybe I could push that off to next week. We'll take a short break and come back and see how far we can get toward the end of our study of Psalm 119. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is The Trumpet Daily. The world is hopelessly confused about Bible history and prophecy. Understanding the Daniel 2 image could clear up most of that confusion. The Daniel 2 image gives an overview of history and prophecy like nothing else in the Bible. The Bible is a masterful work that should be studied in its entirety. The book of Daniel and the images described therein actually unlock the meaning of the prophecies in the book of Revelation. Our free booklet, Daniel Unlocks Revelation, explains the incredible prophecies contained in these two books. Studied alongside your Bible, this booklet, Daniel Unlocks Revelation, will bring the history and prophecy of your Bible to life. Request your free copy today. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is The Trumpet Daily.
In this 18th section, I believe it is, beginning with Psalm 119 and verse 137, we learn that it's God alone who is righteous, and His commandments, His teachings, His truth, it's all described as upright and holy and pure. Now, the New Testament, Jesus in Matthew 5 said that we need to hunger for righteousness. We need to seek first the kingdom of God. In Matthew 6, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. God alone is righteous. Psalm 119, verse 137, it says, righteous are you, O eternal, and upright are your judgments. This is what we hunger for. This is why we study our Bibles. This is why we immerse ourselves into Bible study, in-depth Bible study, searching the scriptures daily like the Bereans did. Verse 138, it says, your testimonies that you have commanded are righteous and very faithful. Verse 140 says, thy word is very pure. Therefore, your servant loves it. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is the truth. Righteousness, purity, truth. We need this now more than ever in a world, as you hear nearly every day in segment one, a world full of lies, saturated in lies, deception, dishonesty. We've never seen it quite like this, the level of dishonesty and deceit. And so God says, well, immerse yourself into what's true and what's right. Verse 144, it says, the righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall live. We talked about this, I think, yesterday. The life that God's commandments, the happiness and joy that his law gives to us. It says in verse 145, I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O eternal. I will keep your statutes. I've cried out to you, please hear me. I want to keep your statutes. We head into this 19th section. There's 22 in total. But here we learn that those who love God's law, if you love the law of God, then you're crying out to God in fervent prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That's in James 5. If you love the law of God, then it follows that you're fervently crying out to God, just like we see here in verse 145. The next verse continues, I cried unto you, save me, and I shall keep your testimonies. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried. I hoped in your word. My eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in your word. He was meditating, the prophet Jeremiah was, right through the night in some cases. In Mark 1, it says in verse 35 that Jesus got up a great while before day so that he could go out and pray to the Father, so that he could go out, find a solitary place, a nice quiet spot, and cry out to God, his Father. Jeremiah 25 and verse 3, it talks about the prophet there, rising early and speaking. So, good time management. We can make a plug for that in passing here, to spend those hours wisely. That's how we bring urgency to God's work, by making sure we get in our time with God, prayer and study, crying out to God with fervent prayer. Verse 153, a few verses down, this begins another section. It says, consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Here we read that God's law is the sum of faithfulness. That's what we learn when we delve into it, when we dig into God's word. Verse 159, it says here, consider how I love your precepts. Quicken me, O eternal, according to your loving kindness. Verse 160 says, your word is true from the beginning, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. That's what we get when we study God's word. We get truth. It's been true from the beginning. It endures. His judgments endure. Verse 161, it says, princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word. Here it begins another section. My heart is in awe of your word. Here we're told that loving God's law, if we really and truly love it, it brings unity and joy and peace into our lives. God's law is love. If we love God, we keep the commandments. That's what your Bible says. We don't do away with the commandments. We don't abolish the commandments. We obey them because we love our Creator. We love our Father in heaven. We love the God family. verse 162. It says, I rejoice at your word as one that finds great spoil. I hate and abhor lying. But your law do I love. Seven times a day do I praise you because of your righteous judgments. Great peace have they which love your law, and nothing shall offend them. That's verse 165. Well-known memory verse. Great peace. See, unity, joy, and peace. If we love God's law, we're not going to be easily offended. It's going to bring us together. It's going to bring us together. It's going to unite us together with God's family. Loving the law of God. Verse 166 says, Lord, I have hoped for your salvation and done your commandments. My soul has kept your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I've kept your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. What an attitude. What a relationship between the prophet here and his creator, his Father in heaven. The final section, section 22, verse 169 says, Let my cry come near before you, O Eternal. Give me understanding according to your word. Those who love God's law will praise and thank him always. You see that not just in Psalm 119 here, but you see it all throughout the Psalms. How much praise and thanksgiving is worked into our daily prayers. It's easy to forget about that section. It's easy to move on to, I need help with this. I need you to show me this. I need you to guide me here. But what about thanking God? What about praising God for all of his glorious might and power and strength and love and joy and peace? What about thanking him for his marvelous purpose and plan, the incredible human potential, the fact that we're made in the likeness and the image of God, ultimately. The fact that we're to become God. What a glorious calling that is. Verse 170, it says, Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips, it says, my lips shall utter praise when you have taught me your statutes. See, when you teach me, I'm just going to utter praises to God. This is precious truth. This is the most valuable knowledge that we could ever hope for. And the prophet here says, when you teach me, Father, I'm going to give you thanks. I'm going to praise you for this valuable instruction. It says, my tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. See, all of them, they all reflect God's love. They all reflect his righteousness. My tongue shall speak of your word. I'm going to bring praises and thanks to my prayers. I'm going to speak highly of your word when I'm talking to others. Verse 173 says, Let your hand help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I have longed for your salvation, O Eternal, and your law is my delight. Do we truly delight in the law of God? The wondrous works, the wondrous plans that are revealed in Scripture. This wondrous law, as it says earlier in the Psalm, truly delight in the truth of God. It says in verse 175, Let my soul live, and it shall praise you, and let your judgments help me. As long as I'm here, I'm going to be praising you, Father. I'm going to be praising God. In the Ezekiel booklet, it says, this is my father writing, he says, If you gathered all the angels and demons together, and all of the physical creation, including man and his incredible human potential, you would see just how wonderfully unique you are. How often do we thank God for our potential? How often do we thank God just for the incredible human potential? He says in the Ezekiel booklet, my father does, we should thank him every day for that. Because before we can really understand anything, we must understand the connection between this spectacular, fiery God and man. He's talking about Ezekiel 1 and this awesome vehicle that God travels in, this fiery image of God himself, and then the connection between God and man. And you see it as early as Genesis 1:26. Let us, God and the Word, let us make man in our image and likeness. Wow. Thank God for that. Give God thanks and praise. Thank him every day, as my father says there. He says this is the real point of Ezekiel. When the spiritual creation of man is complete, man will be God's masterpiece. God will have, he will have in fact reproduced himself. Verse 176, the final verse in this beautiful psalm, it says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. So here is the prophet saying, look, I mean, he knew he still made mistakes. He knew he was still carnal. But he loved God's law, and he loved God's government, and he received God's correction. And this is what made him so passionate for God's work. This is what motivated him to go forward, to follow in the steps of God the Father, to become perfect like God. What an attitude. Just to switch over to Ezra for a moment, now that we've finished this study, Psalm 119. In Ezra 7 and verse 10, it says, For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Eternal and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. He prepared his heart to seek the law of God. The Revised Standard Version says that he set his heart in that direction. You can find similar instruction or language in Colossians 3, 1 and 2. We really do have to set our hearts on this law. You see that all through Psalm 119, don't you? You see a prophet of God, a great prophet of God, who just set his heart. He prepared his heart to receive the laws of God. My father wrote in the Ezra Nehemiah booklet, he said, we are a college of law. He's talking about Herbert W. Armstrong College. Here we are, as I said earlier, coming up to the graduation ceremony on Sunday. And our students are reminded often that this is a college of law, a college of God's law. It says, and all of the individuals in God's church, whether lay member or minister, are being judged on how well we know, follow, and teach the law. It says, Ezra came to show the Jews that a temple can only be truly built with God's law. We must understand this same lesson. God's church can only be built upon law. Let's be sure we obey and teach the law. Only then will we be qualified to teach in the world tomorrow. See, we're being judged. We're being observed. God is taking note. He's watching and evaluating everything that we do. He has a special office, a position, responsibilities in mind. When he thinks of you, when he thinks about what you can do for his family. And so we've got to make the most of our time in this age, to prepare our hearts for what's coming, to prepare our hearts for what's next. In John's gospel, the love of God, it says there is nothing more exciting than the thinking of God. If you really want to bring excitement into your life, study God's thinking and emulate God's thinking. You can do that if you study through Psalm 119 often. There's obviously plenty of other passages that you could study along those lines too. But Psalm 119 is a magnificent look at the mind of God. It teaches us how to think like God. And that's what we're here to do. Matthew 5:48 says, "Become you therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." It's a beautiful vision, a wonderful study. And we bring it to a conclusion. In many ways, it continues the study, but at least the chapter 119 in Psalms, we've come to the end of that beautiful, beautiful chapter about God's law. A few emails. We've got about 4 minutes left. This one here says, "Look forward. I look forward, as always, to the program. It takes a lot of intestinal fortitude to speak the truth and to tell it like it is in a sea of lies, lies, lies." It says, "I find it interesting that the majority of the leftists in the U.S. continue to talk down gun ownership of law-abiding citizens, racist ideologies, and that don't exist for the large majority. Facebook, Twitter justification of banning of Republicans, vaccines not killing people, a border that's secure, supposedly. Lies, lies, lies. What is also interesting is that Satan committed the first double homicide by using his weapon of choice, a big fat lie. How many deaths will be the result of lying? Probably too many to count. It says, Godspeed the day that the ninth commandment is not broken, as well as others. Carry," he says here, "finally, carry the truth torch high." Another one here says, "Thank you for providing us daily with an uplifting dose of sound-mindedness. I live in the Columbus area, but had not previously seen the vaccine commercial you played on Tuesday, and the logic behind it is astounding. It says the building blocks of proteins are amino acids and milk. As a complete protein containing all the necessary amino acids surely would contain the particular building block included in the vaccine. So going by the science, quote unquote, laid out here for us, couldn't we all just have a milkshake and call ourselves vaccinated?" She's talking about that doctor in Ohio that was talking about water and sugar and a little bit of butter that's in the vaccine. "It's no problem. It'll save your life," he said. Another one here says, "My husband and I love listening to the Trumpet Daily. Thank you and your staff for digging deep to find the truth in all of the bogus news today that has become so taken over by Satan's broadcasts. It's so difficult to even use a basic internet search these days to find truth in anything going on in the world. I enjoy the new time at 11 a.m., and it also seems like you're more rested as well." How about that? I am. I think I would admit that I am a little bit more rested. It says, "Today I did notice that on the break, the Trumpet Daily is still being advertised as live at 7 a.m. Central Time, in case you haven't noticed this yet. Keep up the good work and keep fighting on the good fight." Another one here says, "You're 100% correct in warning about the dangers of this vaccine. I work in a school district in the maintenance department, and I can tell you for certain, many, if not most people in the education system are pro-vaccine, and they look at people like myself as a conspiracy theorist because I dare question the coronavirus lie, and now even more so by warning people not to take the kill shot. You can't even question it. Like Tucker said, it's immoral if you even question. You're just supposed to go along like dumb sheep. Take the jab. Stay in the basement. Don't go back to work." And then they wonder why the jobs numbers are horrible today. "Well, I think I'll just sit at home and get the check from the government. Why work?" And all these places of business are having a hard time finding people who are willing to work. What a sickness. What a sickness this has been. And I'm not talking about COVID-19. I'm talking about Isaiah 1, verses 5 and 6. Sickness from head to toe. It says here, "I believe the truth about this shot will eventually come out, but unfortunately, many people will be dead or injured before the exposure occurs. It says further on, "Thanks for your daily truthful news." Well, that's all that we have time for on today's show. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Email us, and we might get to it next week. td@kpcg.fm. Thanks for joining us today. Thanks for joining us all week, and we'll see you Monday.